Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show. On your exclusive home for Thunderbird hockey, 1090 The Fan.
The T-Birds finish off a difficult month with a signature win. Now they leave February behind and are on the march. 17 days, 10 games to decide their playoff fate. Can they battle higher into the standings or settle for the eighth spot? We'll talk all things T-Birds next on 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show.
Niall snaps the shot, and he will score!
A weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL.
T-Birds knock it down, rebound, shot, glove, save made by Tozan.
The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show. With Tom Boyning, Spike O'Neill, and head coach Matt Odette.
Well, Seattle gets what may be a signature win on the season earlier this week with their stirring comeback Tuesday night. It ends what was a difficult month as far as wins and losses for the team, also dealing, of course, with the injuries and the illnesses and probably the toughest schedule in the league. And now they get to embark on an even tougher schedule. The month of March, 10 games, 17 days. It starts with a three games and three nights weekend. The first two will be on the road. It starts tomorrow night down in Portland. One of four games of the 10 that Seattle has left on their schedule, by the way, against their longtime rivals to the south. Seattle then hits the road Saturday as well. They'll travel north to Everett to take on the conference-leading Silvertips before returning home Sunday again against Portland. And what will end up being the start of a four-game homestand that will feature the final regular season director's mortgage two for Tuesday. That's coming up this coming Tuesday against Tri-City. And also the final pub night of the regular season next weekend when Spokane is in town. And as always, for tickets, you can go online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Seattle officially with five regular season home games to go. Now, it is time to bring in the head coach, Matt Odette. And Matt, I remarked on the game when that Tuesday night affair concluded, and I think in your postgame comments, you said something similar to the effect of that the comeback 5-4 win against Vancouver might be one of the most important, if not the most important win for your team this season. Now, you still have 10 games on the schedule. You have won some big games throughout the year. The win got you two big points, but still hasn't clinched you a playoff spot. So what were some of the circumstances that make you believe that that is a signature win for your team this season?
Well, you know, obviously the 2 points right now was much needed, at, you know, especially with the battle that we're in right now. You know, I just think for momentum-wise, rolling into, you know, like you said, the difficult 10 games remaining here, you know, we needed to get some positive momentum going for ourselves into this tough stretch. And, you know, the nature of the comeback and the not quitting, you know, will be good for, you know, our team moving forward, give us some confidence rolling into a tough weekend.
And I guess, too, you were riding a four-game losing streak, hadn't earned a point in any of those four games, and there were some tough losses in there. Some, you know, if it could go wrong, it did go wrong for Seattle moments, and then you fall behind 4-1 early in the second period in that game Tuesday and come roaring back. So I'm sure that also kind of adds to that signature win kind of a feel.
Yeah. You know, we played well enough in you know, a couple of those games to come away with points, and we didn't, you know, which was frustrating. And, you know, every game's a difficult challenge, a different challenge. And, you know, being on home ice on a Tuesday night, you know, against a team that played the night before, we felt these were points that we needed to have. And, you know, if we didn't get that done, it would have been, you know, tough to regroup and you know, kind of, you know, what's the word, duplicate that feeling and motivation going in the weekend. And the comeback, you know, gave us some positive vibes to move into the weekend with.
There was a point in that game Tuesday when you add it to the last time you played Vancouver up in Langley. You had 50 shots on goal. You had 25 shots, I think. It was just after your second goal that made it 4-2. You had 75 shots in not quite five periods of hockey against their goaltender, David Tendick, and you'd only scored three times. And again, at this young age of these players who are still developing their game, they're still teenagers, that could weigh on you mentally. But we saw the mental toughness of your team to just not give up and just keep slinging pucks on net.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. You know, obviously, that goaltender there, Tendick, he's emerged as the real deal there. having a great season. And, you know, I think after that timeout in the second period, we talked on the bench and we had to get back to the style that makes us successful. And, you know, it's being simple to get the puck into the opposition's end. And that's when we do our good work down low and create multiple chances. And that's what we started to do.
Yeah, I saw your comments to that regard, too, after the game where you said you called the timeout. And, again, I can only paraphrase what you said because I don't have the direct quote here. But you mentioned not being cute with the puck. But that second goal, the assist from Matthew Wedman was a back-to-the-net, between-the-legs pass. So I guess you could have put an asterisk by that, say, unless it works. Then you
could
be cute.
it's what we're doing in the neutral zone. You know, we, instead of chipping the puck behind their defensemen, you know, we were trying to take on even man rushes, which, you know, that's not quite our style. You know, absolutely, if we have the numbers advantage on a rush, we want to attack, but when it's not there, we need to make their D turn, and that's when we can establish our forecheck and put some pressure on their D. You know, I think that second goal was from a lot of good work down low below their goal line to work that puck to the front of the net, and Nicky was there to put it home.
Yeah, it wasn't a tying goal. It wasn't a winning goal, but that was maybe the most important goal in the game. It stemmed the tie. They had scored four in a row at that point to take a 4-1 lead, and you were putting pucks on net, not getting the results, and so that was a pretty big goal for you in that game.
Yeah, you know, we needed to get some momentum going and, you know, get the ball rolling as far as creating some offense there. And, you know, it was a different line combination, you know, with some of our guys being out and, you know, having some mismatched lines. You know, Nicky managed to be out there with Volkan and Wedman, and, you know, they made a good play down low, and that kind of gave us a jolt of life. And I think from that point on, we took over the game.
And you're listening to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with the head coach, Matt Audette. T-Birds ready to play 3-3 this weekend, beginning Friday night down in Portland. The lone home game of those three will be on Sunday, also against Portland. It's a 5 o'clock start at the Accesso Show where center tickets available online at seattlethunderbirds.com. You know, in the hockey games, the marquee shifts, the ones that get all the attention for any team, the ones that stand out to the casual observer are the ones that end up with a goal being scored. But there were some very important shifts in that game Tuesday night by some players who, you know, they don't get a goal, they don't get an assist, they don't end up on the score sheet, but they have an impact on the game. If those third and fourth line guys can go out there and keep the puck in the attacking zone, make the opposition team have to defend their net, and keep your top players fresh. So while those players didn't end up on the score sheet, those were some pretty important shifts taken by those young guys.
Yeah, that was huge. It was Nikita with Sam and Katsale there. A bunch of good shifts in the third to keep our momentum going, keep them hemmed into their end, and they had multiple chances to score, and huge minutes for us. You know, we were coming at them in waves. We had, you know, our two top lines, you know, we're creating some pressure on them, and then when we put those guys out there, they kept that pressure going, and just a huge, you know, factor in the game.
And you want to be able to project out with guys like that. I know Katsley's had some opportunities, hasn't scored that first goal yet. You almost feel he's on the verge of doing it. And Huo, we've mentioned a number of times, you're surprised he doesn't have more points than he does. But we also have to remember these guys are rookies. They're 16- and 17-year-olds, and they're learning from these situations that you hope by the time they're 18 and 19, then they're finishing those chances. They're going to be a little stronger. They're going to be as tall as they are now, maybe even taller, but they're going to get physically more mature and stronger as well to fill out those frames.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, the experiences in these type of games and those pressure situations are huge for their development. And, you know, they're big, lanky kids that don't quite have all their coordination underneath them yet, but you know, they're going to fill out and get stronger and get their balance and their feet underneath them. And, you know, they'll be pretty hard to knock off that puck when they start to develop.
And on the subject of giving your team significant minutes, 15-year-old Tyrell Bauer with Jake Lee unable to go Tuesday night, and you moved Owen Williams up, primarily playing on the, I think it was the third line, playing left wing, so filling in as a forward for a lot of chunks of that game. You put Bauer in there, you know, you limited his time when he was going to be on the ice, but again, doesn't end up on the score sheet in an impactful way, but he does give you those invaluable minutes, you know, he's off the little we've seen of him. He certainly shows the promise of being a very good player at this level. And by the way, when he's in the lineup, Seattle's 2-0.
Yeah, not an easy situation for him to kind of be thrown in at the last minute. You know, Jake couldn't go there with the flu, and we had a couple other guys battling the flu as well. So we needed him to have some good shifts for us, and he did that. And, you know, you can see a guy that size that can move around as well as he does. And, you know, he's got a pretty good, you know, defensive mindset that, you know, he can break up plays. And, you know, there's a bright future for him. We're excited about, you know, what he's going to bring to the table for us.
And when you know he's going to be in the lineup, I imagine Kyle Hagel, your assistant coach, will probably sit down and go over some video with him. But are there things you want to just tell him about his mental state that he needs to just go out there and play like he can play and not worry about the guys he's going up against him? He played, you know, back home and did very well, and he was one of the top players on his team back there. He's coming here. He's got a team around him. He doesn't have to try to do anything more than he's capable of doing.
Yeah, and I don't think he's not the type of kid that you know, I don't think gets overwhelmed or feels like he's got to do too much, you know, for the team. I think that's what makes him, you know, a valuable piece for the future. He's got that, you know, composed mindset. He plays a pretty reliable game where he doesn't try to go out of his way to do too much. He plays his game. He plays within himself. And, you know, I think that makes him a kind of a calming force when he's on the ice, especially as he gets older and plays in these difficult situations, that'll serve him well.
Now, as we mentioned, you want those third and fourth line guys to give you those valuable minutes to keep your top players fresh, and they did that because you were certainly very fresh in that third period, all things being considered, fresh being relative because, as you mentioned, you had some guys battling some flu conditions. But those valuable minutes also add up when you stay out of the penalty box, and knowing you had to have those top players fresh at the end of the game down 4-1, you only gave Vancouver one power play the entire game. Now, they did score on it, but you stayed out of the box, and that helps too.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, our top players obviously play a lot of special teams, and, you know, our best killers are our top guys that play a lot already. So if the more you can stay out of the box, the less taxing the game is for those guys, and it pays off in the third. You know, Donnie and Volks, they play a lot of penalty kill, which can sap some of their energy for the third period. And, you know, that was an important point to the game, was to stay out of the box, and it helped keep those guys fresh down the stretch.
Again, you're listening to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with head coach Matt Audette. We'll take our break. When we come back, one of the T-Birds leaders had a big night on Tuesday. Will join us, and then the coach back as well, as the T-Birds heading into a 3 games and 3 nights weekend. The show continues after this on 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 The Fan.
Welcome back to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show. The head coach, Matt Audette, will rejoin us shortly. A reminder, the games coming up this weekend, 3 and 3 nights, beginning in Portland on Friday, up in Everett on Saturday. The home game and the beginning of a 4-game homestand for Seattle is Sunday at 5 against Portland. And then next Tuesday, it's a director's mortgage 2 for Tuesday against the Tri-City Americans. T-Birds coming off the win on Tuesday, the come-from-behind 5-4 victory in overtime, which snapped their 4-game losing streak. And a big part of that was our guest, Donovan Niles, had a 4-assist night. In fact, assisted on each of the last 4 goals. We're going to call that a Niles, or it's almost like a Matt Barzell kind of game, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. he does it a little nicer than I did it, but it was a good game.
Well, and it snapped, as we said, that losing streak. And for you, I know individually you'll look at those numbers when the season's done, but you're having a career year. You're over a point a game player. One stat that the Western Hockey League is tracking this year that they hadn't done last year is face-off wins, and I think it has you at well over 50% on the season winning face-offs. And that certainly is a very important part of the game, certainly significant to get a power play goal late in overtime to win a game too.
Yeah, Hags works with us on face-offs before our in-morning skate before the game. So, I just try to bear down as much as I can there.
I know before the season began, I had a chat with you, and we had a story in the Kent Reporter about coming into your final season and how you were a part of that group that came in together, and you're kind of the last remnant of that group. And now as you approach the final 10 games of your regular season in the Western Hockey League, and if you have to reflect back on your season and how you played without some of those guys on the roster this year going around, I know there's still some familiar faces like Nolan Volk and like Turner Ottenbright, but to have the kind of season you're having without those guys, what does it tell you about yourself?
I just learned from them, I guess. They were great role models, and you learn a lot from guys like Barzy, Truzy, Enzer, Bears even, Keegs, and Gropper. You learn a lot, so just trying to implement some of that stuff out here that they've taught you or you've learned from them.
Do you think of how ironic it is, I guess, that you come all the way from Grenfell, Saskatchewan, to play your junior hockey here in Seattle for 4 years, and then at the end of two of those years, you kind of go back home to play in the championship series. I know Brandon's not necessarily in your backyard, but fairly close. But then last year in Regina, you play them and win that game six and win the championship in front of a lot of family and friends, that you had to travel this far to go back home to win.
Yeah, it's pretty special. I don't know too many guys that can say they've played in two championships no further than an hour and a half from your hometown. So it was pretty awesome just to be able to play in front of my friends and family, because we only go out there once every second year. So for me to do that was pretty special. And then, like you said, to win it in Regina was even better.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of having your dad on the broadcast, Parents Weekend, last weekend, and chatted with him. And you know, he and Turner's dad was on our show last week, said similar things in that it's kind of melancholy for them knowing that that was their final Parents Weekend trip to come out here for that annual thing that the T-Birds do. They bring the parents in. I know that, you know, the families appear at a lot of games. They'll make trips, road trips, even outside of Parents Weekend, but that was that last official Parents Weekend. It's a little bit sad for them. How did you approach Parents Weekend for the final time?
Yeah, it went by fast. I know my parents really enjoyed the whole weekend with them bussing to Everett. I know they had a lot of fun, and I'm sure all the parents did, but for me, it was looking back on my career, I guess, I know I only have, 11 games left, so I'm just trying to enjoy every last moment.
Well, 10 regular season games. We hope another long playoff run, too. But if you reflected back on your first training camp here as a 15-year-old in this building and to see where you've come, how wide-eyed were you back then, and how have you matured as a person?
Oh, huge. Remember some stories just from my 15-year-old year, and looking back, it goes by fast for anybody that's coming as a 16, 15-year-old. It really does go by fast.
And as we approach this final 10 games of your regular season, you got a lot of battles with teams that you're very familiar with, not just this year, but you played Portland a lot of times in your career, Everett a lot of times, Spokane a lot, Tri-City a lot. What battles against what team will you remember the most?
Probably Everett or Portland. Those games are so much fun to play in. Just the atmosphere it brings to the rink and the battles you have on the ice, like you said, it when you win it, you definitely remember those, because those are the hard ones.
Well, it's good you got six games to go against those two combined, possibly more, because right now it's looking like a first-round playoff matchup with Everett. But it's been a terrific career, and I know you'll think about this more after you're done here with the T-Birds, but you've got to make a decision on the next step, don't you?
I do, yeah. And like you said, I'll worry about that when the time comes.
So we'll let you think about that when it does come to that time, but we'll look forward to watching you in your final 10 regular season games as a Seattle Thunderbird. It's been a terrific career, and your name, as I told your dad, will always be etched on that Ed Schnauth Cup trophy. It's something they could never take away from you. There's a couple of banners hanging in this building that, while they don't necessarily have your name on it, there's a piece of you on them as well. So congratulations on the career. Good luck here down the stretch getting this team into the playoffs, and hopefully a long playoff run, Donnie.
Thank you very much.
Time now to bring back in the head coach, Matt Audette, ahead of this busy weekend of hockey. Again, reminded the T-Birds lone home game Sunday at 5 here at the Accesso Show, where tickets are available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. TheTigerNation.com. One thing that the T-Birds had been struggling to do lately, and again, it's affected by a lot of things, injuries, line changes as a result, and then the illnesses, is score some goals, but sometimes goal scorers are just streaky guys, and we saw Donnie come up with that four-assist effort, but the big night for Zach Andrusiak with the hat trick, and while he has been a bit snake-bit recently, he's starting to show signs of coming out of that, and with all that said, he still is tied for the team lead with Nolan Volkan in the goal scored with 27.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a cold stretch. You know, we've talked recently with him about, you know, ways that he can be create more offense, and a lot of it is, you know, by being, you know, a better player defensively. If you're in your end less and doing some better things, you know, on the defensive side of it, yeah, you get more opportunities on offense, and you know, we went over some video with him and to clean up some of that stuff, and you know, just some of his little things that he brings to the table. If you look at his two goals, they were just going hard to the net. The first one, you know, middle lane drive, stops in front, puts a stick down, gets rewarded with a goal. His second one going to the net, you know, puck goes off his leg, he gets rewarded there, and you know, and then the third one is you know, bread and butter for his type of game. He's a shooter, and you know, we made a play on the PK or on the PP, and you know, he was the trigger guy for that one, and you know, that's the way he scores a lot of his goals. So sometimes you can break out of a slump by just being gritty and going to the net, and he did that.
I know the power play had gone through an 0-for-13 stretch, and we talked about the effect of having someone like Sami Moilanen on the sideline, and that affects your power play. I know in this season, he's played 40 games. He's had some issues with injuries and was away for a time with a camp with the World Junior Team Finland. He only has 4 power play goals and 4 assists in the power play, so it's not like his power play numbers are huge, but he affects the power play because they have to account for him on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, I think on the power play, you need every guy needs to have an element of danger while they're out there and be a threat. You know, he was that threat from the middle of the ice in that spot there on the power play. And like you said, it brings attention to him and it frees up other guys. You know, all the best power plays in the league are ones with multiple threats in different areas. And Sammy's a threat from the middle, which, you know, opens up other guys out there. And if they're not paying attention to Sammy, he can put the puck in the net as well. So, you know, he's a factor on the power play, and we definitely miss him.
Well, hopefully he's back at some point here in the month of March. I'm sure you're glad to put February behind you. It was a tough month as far as wins and losses, but not as far as compete level goes. In fact, I think we even talked about this right after the trade deadline. We knew a lot of the teams in the U.S. division were making moves to get better, and that it was going to make it a difficult road the second half of the season, with primarily the games on your schedule against them, as it will be here in the month of March. But just looking back, since the trade deadline, 21 games. Now, 9 of those games were decided after regulation. So that's nearly, you know, one-third of those games. Then you throw in the games decided by one goal in that span. That's another 4. And then, oh, by the way, there were a couple of games where there was an empty net goal involved. So 13 of the 21 games decided by a single goal over the last 2 months, and then there were a couple of two-goal games in that mix as well. It just, again, when you talk about how other teams changed their rosters at the trade deadline, in Seattle made some moves, but it wasn't to, you know, add top-end players. Actually got a little bit younger. To stay as competitive as you have, going through the injuries, the illnesses, and the fact that those rosters improved while yours got that a little youth injection, having all these close games just shows the grit and the compete level you have on this roster.
Yeah, it does, and you know, that's definitely a staple of our game and something that we take pride in. You know, I think with you know, our opposition, especially in the U.S. division, being as loaded as they are, and now, for the most part, fully healthy, and us battling some injuries there, you know, the margin as far as depth wise is, you know, we lose a couple guys and the other teams are fully healthy. It, you know, if you look at the teams on paper, you know, we're probably not favored in many of these games, and that's credit to the guys. You know, we emphasize our team game, and you know, the strength of the team is better than the sum of its parts, and you know, something that we're living by. If we play as a team and outwork the opposition, we'll give ourselves a chance every night, and you know, that's going to continue to be our mindset you know, down the stretch here.
Yeah, it's not going to be a surprise. You know what's coming, a steady diet of the U.S. division, the final 10 games, Portland, Everett, Spokane, Tri-City. I did see a tweet that said the T-Birds have the second toughest schedule in the league as far as their remaining schedule. I don't know how it's not the toughest when you consider the opposition. You're going against teams that have a combined record of 147, 81, 13, and 9. But I know you don't look at the records. You've played these teams enough times to know what they're about, and you know what you're about, and you know you have a playoff spot out there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, we know our division real well. It's a good division. You know, every game's a challenge. You know, there's rivalries obviously up and down our division, and, you know, we get fired up to play these teams, and, you know, we're going to have to, you know, do our best to scrape together some points. They're going to be tough games, and we're going to have to rely on every single guy to help get that done. And, you know, we have to play our style and counter, you know, these teams' high-flying offenses. We have to make sure we stick to our game plan and what makes us successful, and we'll give ourselves a chance.
Well, begins the final stretch, 10 games to the playoffs with the game Friday night against Portland, Saturday up in Everett, and then home Sunday at 5. Again, tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. That wraps up this week's week's edition of the Coaches Show. Don't forget to tune in this weekend for the action right here on 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning, Spike O'Neill, and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 The Fan.